You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Let's get into our deep dive for this morning. We're going to be joined on the line by Pastor Comfort Mugwendere, speaking to us about recognizing the signs and guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is all part of our series on discerning God's will for your life. That's our theme for the week. And so as we seek to understand God's will, we often overlook the role of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just comfort us, he also guides us, he nudges us, and he helps us to interpret God's direction. So today we're going to dive into how exactly the Holy Spirit plays a very vital role in discerning God's will for our lives. My pastor, good morning and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Pastor. I'm fighting some congestion, some nasal congestion here, but I think I'll make it. How are you doing today?
So far, so good. I pray that you recover quickly.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Would you start with the word of prayer, please, before we get into our conversation for today?
Thank you so much. Shall we pray? Dear Father, I want to thank you because you're God. We pray for our sister that God, may you please help her to sail through this conversation, provide healing because you're our Father. Be with us and be with every listener. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. So let's get straight into it. What are some common ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us? We just want to be aware of the ways in which he tries to reach us.
Thank you so much. The ways in which the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Mm-hmm. Indeed, our lesson is about the will of God. So we have discovered that God is more than willing to communicate his will to us. Mm-hmm. For he has plans for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. So God has plans for each and every individual. Mm. And it is the duty of every individual to go there and seek God's will concerning his life. Now, God communicates to us through three ways. Number one, through the scripture. Number two, the work dealings of providence. And number three, through the impressions of the Holy Spirit on the heart. Mm. How does he do it? In the text, I'm here in the book of Isaiah. I'm in Isaiah, where God is saying in the book of Isaiah, God is saying something that is so important. I am reading right now, Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Mm. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Isaiah is saying, you will hear it. You will hear a voice, impression of the heart. Mm. It will tell you, turn to the left, turn to the right. It is a soft, sweet voice that we hear. Some people, they call it the sixth sense. But sometimes it might be the Spirit of God speaking to us to direct our path, to direct our path. So sometimes also God's Spirit speaks to us through the scriptures by illuminating passages to guide us. You know, there are times when you are so down, you don't know what to do. Then you open your Bible. As you open your Bible, a script just jumps from the pages and you can tell that, wow, this is God speaking to me. You know, what you have been thinking of in the morning, when you open your Bible, then you find the answer. Yep. There and there, God telling you from his scriptures. Then another thing, you know, if God speaks to us, the Holy Spirit, through when we pray, he provides inner peace and conviction, you know. This inner peace, you know, which comes from within to be at peace. Whether, you know, to know that, yes, indeed, this decision, you don't have any doubt. You are at peace. You are at peace. You are at peace. Sometimes God's Spirit speaks to us through wise advice from others. You know, God can go on somebody and he tells us what to do. You can actually tell, Now, let me use this as an extreme example. Mm-hmm. One of these days, Jesus was talking with his disciples. After he had asked them, whom do you think the Son of Man is? Peter answered, you know, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus told them that, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem and die for you. Then Peter said, you will not die for us. I will die for you. Jesus says, get behind this Satan. Now, there are two things here. At first, when Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, I want to tell you, Simon, it's not you who is saying this. It's the Spirit of God who has revealed this to you. That's the first point. Second point, when Peter was against the mission, Jesus said, get behind this Satan. So in other words, God's spirit, even the spirit of the devil, can work through people. So therefore, you need to be connected with God to know that now the person who is speaking is not my friend, but it is the Spirit of God speaking to me. So I gave three ways. Let me just summarize them. Number one, I said, God's spirit, it illuminates the scriptures. Yeah. When you read the scriptures, a passage comes out speaking, addressing your issue. Number two, prayer, which provides now inner peace. There is inner peace which comes to you, a conviction that this is the right way. Number three, we talked about God speaking to us through counsels from people, from people surrounding us. Just you can tell, no. This is no longer my boss speaking here. This is God speaking to me. This is no longer my child speaking here. This is God speaking to me. I know of people who are supposed to commit suicide. Then a child say, mommy, I love you so much. Then they understood that, no. This is not God's, this is not that a child, but it's God speaking to me, addressing me, changing my lifestyle.
Sure. Beautiful. So how then do we differentiate between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's guidance and then our own emotions and our own desires?
Well, this is deeper. Why? Because there is a thin line between the two. A thin line between what you want and sometimes what we think that this is what God. You know, Proverbs admonishes us. He says, he who believes his heart is a fool. Proverbs says, he who believes his heart is a fool. Why? Because chapter 17, verse 9, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So sometimes our desires are deceitful. Therefore, we need to separate the two. How do we do it? You need to align with the scripture. Does the guidance align with the biblical principle? Whatever I am feeling, whatever I am thinking to do, does it align with the biblical what? With the biblical principle. Now, this one is very crucial. There are times, let me give another extreme view. I'm in chapter 7, 2 Samuel. In chapter 7, 2 Samuel, we see King David. King David calls Nathan a priest, and says, Nathan, you know what I want to do? In my heart, I want to build God a temple. To Nathan, that was good. To Nathan, that was good. And to David, that was good. And Nathan said, David, you know what? What you're saying, go ahead, go and do it. But Nathan, while he was sleeping, God came to him in a dream and said, go and tell David, I don't want a temple from him. So in other words, sometimes you might have good intentions, but sometimes let's wait upon the Lord and seek him and say, you know, yes, God, I want to do this, and it's good in your eyes. It's good in your evaluation. You can even read scriptures. Scriptures can validate it. But we need to move further now, to move further to say, you know what, God? Because, you know, God is not just God of the scriptures. He is God who is active and who is alive. Most of the times, we do not wait to hear from him. We just think that anything that is good, chapter 8, the book of Acts, they wanted to go, Paul and Silas, they wanted to go to preach to Macedonia, but the Spirit of God told them, don't go there. So sometimes you might have good intentions. You know, you can read the scripture, which says, go ye therefore, and preach to the world. Yes, the scripture says so, but is it the right time? We wait now to say, okay, God, speak to me. Show me without doubt. Is this what you want me to do? So align yourself with scriptures. Number two, inner peace. Do you feel a sense of peace or uneasy? You know, whenever God is with you to do something, God gives us this peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You know, many of the times when you feel uneasy, sometimes it is because you know it, that this is not God who wants me to do it. Then last, you know, confirmation. Do others confirm the guidance? Though it's 50-50 also. Let me explain here. Confirmation, it's 50-50 also. There are times when people will not confirm.
Okay.
There are times where God's will only comes to you. Let me give an example. On that particular day, chapter 22, Genesis, God speaks to Abraham and tells him, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. If Abraham was going to ask confirmation or validation to Sarai, never. Was Sarah going to allow him to sacrifice his son?
Never.
So sometimes God's will, it comes to you basing on your relationship with God. Yes, we need to consult, but we consult the one who has the final say. It is you, based on your relationship with God. The Abraham story, it's crucial, especially now. God was asking Abraham something against what he has said earlier.
Yeah.
Like, for example, earlier he said it is through Isaac that Isaac is going to be the child of the promise. But I want to kill him. So how do you do it now when God is trying to contradict from his word? Hey. So there is a point there. Sometimes God's will doesn't make sense. This is where now we are saying we need to develop a relationship with him first, to know him better,
yes.
That even if it seems to contradict himself, because you know his voice. I want to ask you a question right now. If your husband calls, do you think about it?
No.
Do you think that this is my husband or not? If he just calls and say, hi, Harley, hi, honey,
yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
Do you think that this is my husband or not?
You can tell.
You don't think.
Yeah.
Why? Because you spend much time together.
Yeah.
So how do we differentiate it? So I think before we start to hear his voice in terms of crucial decisions, let's normalize talking to him. Okay. Let's normalize association with him. You know, what next sometimes? You know, I hear people saying, does God speak today? Brother, sister, God speak today, but the challenge, you don't spend time with him. If we normalize praying, we are going to normalize to hear the voice of God.
Amen. Sure. That's power. So it's all in our hands then. We are the ones who are responsible. If we can't hear his voice, it's because we are not spending time with him.
Seriously.
Sure. So can we quench the Holy Spirit's leading? Can we dull the voice of the Holy Spirit in our own lives? And if so, how do we do that?
I'm in chapter 5, around verse 31 in the book of Ephesians, where it says, quench not the Holy Spirit.
Hey.
So Ephesians is saying that you can quench it. How do we do that? I want to believe that nobody wants to reach that point. We quench it by ignoring or dismissing his guidance. Every day of our lives, the Spirit is speaking to us with a small, sweet, softly voice. But many of the time where we ignore it, you know, it's like testing a blind eye. You are driving your car, then you can see that the oil alert is alerting you that oil, there is danger now.
Hey.
But you cast a blind eye.
Yeah.
We cast a blind eye. And whenever we do that, we suffer the consequence. Then number two, allowing sin or distraction to hinder our relationship with God. You know, some of us, we have what we call our darling sins. The sins we love so much, and the sins we think that God will understand.
Hey.
You know, we tell each other, you know what, Wena? You know, everybody's doing it.
Exactly.
Yes, everybody's doing it, but you have a relationship with God. You know, let me tell you one thing I've come to discover. Sometimes what God requires from you, what God requires from me, is different from what he requires from anybody else.
Mm.
Because I am an individual, the path that God wants me to walk is different from the path that God wants you to walk. So let's not allow sin to dwell much in our lives. Lastly, you know, sometimes we quench the spirit by failing to seek God's will through prayer and scripture. You know, most of the times we don't pray. Most of the times we don't seek it. John chapter 7, it tells me this one. Chapter 7, verse 17, it tells me these words which touched my heart. I was surprised to say, oh God, is this for real? It says here, if any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it I speak of myself. Jesus is saying, if any man wills to do God's will, he shall know. You know, this is something, this is so important. Jesus is saying, if you will to do God's will, you shall know. So in other words, not knowing God's will is not part, it's not his problem. It's our problem. We don't want. You know, the reason why people, we don't want to do God's will, it is because we think that God's will is to make us suffer. I have heard people, many people who think that worshiping God, if you worship God, if you seek his plan for your life, you're not going to enjoy life. No. It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's not like that. You know, most of us, if you think of him, God inviting him in my business venture, I'm going to enter bankruptcy. No, it's not like that. God wants us to prosper health-wise, marriage-wise, in every aspect of our lives. God wants good stuff for us. We can trust him. Let's go to him. So how can we quench the spirit of God? Number one, we quench it by ignoring him. Number two, we quench it by allowing sin to reign in our lives. Then lastly, we quench the spirit by not seeking intensely, intentionally about God's will.
Hey. Hiya. All right. So now then, how does being sensitive to the Holy Spirit impact our decision-making process? So we want to know God's will. We have the Holy Spirit trying to communicate with us. How does that sensitivity to the Spirit's voice impact us now when it's time to make the decision for ourselves? Does that cause us to then do what God wants us to do? Does that override what we initially wanted to do? How exactly does it work?
Thank you so much. I'm in chapter 30, 1 Samuel. After a man called David understood God's will, that there's, you know, the thing you need to understand is that there is nothing which is called obvious.
Okay.
Let me explain. You saw in 2 Samuel, when he said that it was obvious that I can just build a temple for God, so I need to go and do it, he thought it's obvious. Then God said no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David comes from the battle, from a war. He comes to Ziklag. He saw Ziklag on fire. It was burnt. And his wives and children were taken to captivity. We saw David going back on his knees, saying, priest, come here. Bring the effort. I want to inquire from the Lord. Should I pursue or not? How many of us can make that decision? Because the normal thing, your wife has been captured. What is the normal thing? Is to pursue.
Yeah.
But David sat down and said, you know what? Yes, I may want to pursue, but God may not want to pursue. God might have another option, which is not pursuing, but which can bring my wife back. Oh, you know. This is something. I'm just speaking right now. So what is it? Knowing that I need, I'm sensitive of the Spirit of God, it provides guidance and wisdom. It helps to know that, you know what, I'm not going to make a decision, but the Spirit of God has a better decision besides me. Thing number two, it helps you to avoid mistakes. I want to say, yes, you know, to err is human. Mm-hmm. To err is human. But sometimes we enter mistakes. Some of these mistakes, we enter them because we do not inquire God. On that particular day, Sarah comes with a plan. Abraham, go to Hagar. Abraham did not inquire God.
Mm.
But in the 21 chapter, Abraham, Sarah says to Abraham now, the second time, Abraham, send Hagar away. Do you know what Abraham did? Abraham went and inquired God.
Yeah.
God, should I send you? He sent you away. Then God said, now listen to the voice of your wife. So if...
Hello, Pastor?
We, Abraham, if Abraham had inquired God first, I want to believe he was not going to make that mistake of having to go around and sleep with Hagar.
Yeah.
So what are we saying? If we become sensitive to the Spirit of God and we inquire him, he helps us to avoid mistake. Then lastly, it gives us confidence in our decisions. You know, if there is something that is hard, it's to have confidence in your decision. Like, for example, you make a decision. This decision, like, let me take Abraham for instance. I'll use him as an instance.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, leave your family and go to a place I will call you. Abraham left and he went there. But when he went there, things were not all roses, even in the place where God called you. But when things become bad in the place which you know that it is God who sent me there, you are a steward. You could go back and say, you know what, God? I'm certain I'm here not because I wanted. I'm here because you wanted me to be here.
Mm.
So therefore, may you do something about it. You know, that day when Jesus was there, when people come to him, he just said, God, your people are here. They need something to eat. Do a miracle here. So if you know that I am here because of God, you have confidence even when things reach a bedrock. You can go back to him. You have confidence. You have confidence in your decisions.
Yeah. It's not easy, Pastor. I think, you know, for all of us who have spent any time in this Christian experience, we understand that it's important. We know we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We must obey God's will, but it's not easy. So how then do we cultivate a greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's voice?
Huh? Thank you so much. You know, if we had ended without talking about this, it was going to be a half-baked cake. Like what Hosea says, he says Ephraim is a half-baked cake, you know. You can't eat a half-baked cake. So let me just explain it in a little bit. It says here, you know, to cultivate sensitivity, you need to consider, number one, regular prayer and communion with God. This is crucial. You know, consistency, not spasmodic, whereby you just go. You know, some of us, if I ask ourselves, what was your last sin to God? It's long time. Your online status with God, it's long time. You know, your last sin, yeah, it's long time. We need to regularize speaking with God. It must be something we do on a daily basis. This is what scripture says. He says, Jesus says, if you cannot take up your cross and follow me daily, you're not worthy to be my disciple. We need a daily conversion, a daily to cultivate regularity. Then number two, study scriptures to understand God's character and will. We need to study the scriptures to understand God's character. That's the first thing. Study scriptures to understand God's character and will. Then seek guidance from spiritual mentors or leaders. You know, there are people we have spiritual mentors, we have pastors, we have elders, we have people in our churches. We have gone this path. Let's seek guidance from them. You know, let's seek guidance for them. Then being open to feedback and correction from others.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, we are not open to feedback, even correction from others. We think we are always right. No, you're not always right. Mm. We need others to tell us, no, you know what? I think this time we need to do this. You need to do this.
Yeah.
So how do we do it? How do we do it? Number one, I say it. We need to regularize our communion with God through prayer. Number two, we need to study scriptures to understand God's character and will. And we also need to seek guidance from spiritual mentors or leaders. Lastly, being open to feedback and correction from others. David, when he had messed up with the Bathsheba incident, Nathan came to him and told him, this is not God's will. And David, the difference between David and Saul is that when David is corrected, he goes down on his knees, he humbles himself. But when Saul was corrected, he will kill the one who is correcting him. Let us not be like Saul. Let's not kill people who try to help us. You know, sometimes most of us, people are no longer telling us, not because we are now correct, no. Because they fear for their lives.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. That's incredible. And that's definitely a good way for us to wrap up the conversation for today, to be open to correction. It's not easy. It challenges our egos. It challenges who we think that we are. And I think if we just keep that in mind, that should help us, not just as we're getting, because I think we are willing to, that's in quotes, that's even if we are willing to hear directly from God. But when you're telling us that, no, sometimes God speaks through other people, God can speak through your children. And I'm not ready to hear my children telling me that what I'm doing is wrong. I'm not ready to hear someone who is below me in the organization where I work to tell me to know who I am, you know. So it becomes challenging, but it's definitely an important reminder that God speaks in different ways and we must be sensitive to his voice. Thank you so much, my pastor. Any final words as you conclude, and then pray for us, please?
As you were saying, it dawned to my mind and to the incidents which we find in the book of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great general of Syria called Naaman. Naaman was full of leprosy and he didn't know what to do with this problem. But we see Naaman listening to the suggestion of one slave lady who was there. He told him, Naaman, go to our country. There is a man of God there, you're going to be healed. How I wish we may be humble as Naaman. We can be able to listen to people who are under us. A slave was the one with the breakthrough of Naaman. How we pray, my prayer for everybody here is to acknowledge God speaks to us in any direction. He can speak, he can impress on our hearts, he can impress on you, do this. Do it. Even if it doesn't make sense, just do it because it's God. Lastly, my prayer for everybody is let us not quench the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that God help us to deal with these sins we love so much. Let us pray that God give us strength to overcome our own sinful nature. Then lastly, which comes and dawned onto my heart, let's regularize talking to him. The more we spend time with him, the more we can distinguish his voice from that of a stranger. Spend time with him. Make time with him. But sometimes you might try to do it in the morning. Some may say in the evening. Whatever your time, find time with him. But you know, manna in Israel was picked every morning. I would suggest we need manna every morning. We need something that keeps us going every morning. Let's go there on our knees and say, God, I'm going back to work. I'm going to meet my family. I'm going to school. I'm going to do this, and I don't know what to say. May you put your words into my mouth. God is able to touch our lips. God is able to use us for his own glory. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we come before your throne of grace. Indeed, you want to speak to us. Isaiah says, we shall hear. But sometimes our ears are closed with sin. our ears are closed with distractions. Help us to remove every weight of distraction in our hearts. Sometimes, dear Father, we don't take time to seek you intentionally. We don't take time to seek you because we don't know you. So help us, Father, to know you better, to study your character so that we may be able to know you. I want to thank you this session. May you please remember each and every individual as they develop relationship with you. May you make your voice known to them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mukwendere, for another very, very interesting conversation. I look forward to when we wrap things up tomorrow. Until then, stay blessed.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.